Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and He's mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Our God is good, and He is mighty, and He is ready to help us, to guide us in this life. God loves us. He loves you. In real time, He loves you. And He will bless you. He will give you the best advice you could ever receive. To those of you who trust the Lord is going to mightily move in your life. The Lord is looking for people He can be a blessing to. He's also looking for people that can represent Him right, that will do the living ways of God, who will live the Word, who will operate by faith. The Lord don't need us to make excuses for Him. He will keep His word. You know, it's time now that we trust Him and take Him at His word. It's time now that we believe Him, take His word, preach it as it is, as it's true. And we need to treat the word like it's true. And if we'll do that, the Lord will build our lives up and cause us to be the blessing He designed us to be. And if we're going to be the blessing, if we're going to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, it's because we allow the light to shine through us. And we don't try to hide our faith in God. Many times people try to hide the light. And when, you know, people, it takes courage to live in this life. It takes character courage that comes from the Word of God. The light that we live is not of ourselves. Sometimes in Israel, the Pharisees depended on the law to make them righteous. And the law cannot make you righteous. A man is not righteous because the law says don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't commit, you know, don't covet other people's property. Those rules don't make you righteous. But a sinner can't keep those commandments. But a man that's been redeemed, bought in the blood of Jesus Christ, his spirit man has been made new. And he can keep the law if he wants to. He can do what's right if that's what he wants to do. Now the Lord, the kingdom of God is on this order. And it always will be. And it always was. From the beginning to the end. Those who serve God, they do it because that's what they want to do. They are not coerced. Nobody made them do it. Now, I know people preach, they preach at you like they're trying to get you to do it. But at the end of the day, it's your choice. And it's a choice you'll make. And there are many people, you know, they grew up in church. So they learn that if they don't really want to do right, they act right. And when they get old enough not to go to church, they forsake it. And they stop going. And they go out there and they get in trouble. And sometimes they come back to the roots that they left. And some people never leave. They're wise enough to see that it's dangerous out there doing any and everything and not walking. And they learn the love of God and they stick with it from a child up. But some people are going to try the world out. And the world is brutal. And the wicked ways of the world, they don't work. And the people who try the world, they're not happy. They have a lot of decisions they wish they could undo. And they don't the way the enemy works it, it's hard to detect that it's dangerous until you've gotten hurt. You know, it looked like you can play with a snake if you don't know anything about snakes. They look harmless, but they bite. And if they got the slant eyes, they're poisonous. And they can hurt you. Well, so it is with the world. Adam ate off the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. There's something that sounds good about Satan's speech. and the way he presents it. See, the world is presented beautifully. It looked like it won't hurt you, but it always does. And it causes deep-rooted problems. Deep problems it causes. But thanks be to Jesus, he knew this. He knew that we got in trouble. And the Lord did something to get us out of trouble. And the world causes a lot of heartaches. And look at the healing process that the Lord has given us. Now, in Isaiah 53, it says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. It starts off saying, who shall believe our report? The reason it says that the world is not used to the God kind of love. The love of God is just not in the world. So that's not something that they can relate to. When people say God loves you, in the back of their mind, it's like he wants something from me. Because if people love you in this world, they want something from you. If when they advertise their products, they want your money. When the politicians talk to you, they want your vote. When a man see a woman, he wants something from her. He lusts after her beauty. People want something from you. But the love of God is different. It's trying to bless you. No strings attached. There's no payment plan for salvation. Not the salvation of God through Jesus Christ. All you have to do is believe him. Now, the kingdom of God, there's no sin in it. There's no room for sin in it. So Jesus did something about our sins. And our sins is what causes our problems and even death that we have to suffer with. So it says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It's revealed to everybody that wants it. For he shall grow up before him. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. The Lord came to life in a dry and dead world. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there was no beauty that we should desire him. Because he looks like the average Joe. He looks like you and me. He came in like he looked like a man. There was no flying colors. He looked common. When they wanted to kill him, he just walked through the crowd. He looked like anybody out there. Verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. People don't esteem Jesus high. They don't know what he came to do until they hear about him. Verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. He bore our griefs because we have a lot of them, because we trusted the world in many places. And it causes us grief. He carried our sorrows. He was one of us. He knew what it's like to be a man. And he had to do it that way so he could represent God before us. And then he simultaneously represented God to us. Just like he represents us to God. He was one of us. He carried our sorrows, so he knew what it's like to be us. Yet we did, even after all that, we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, our decisions to sin. He was bruised for our iniquities. things that we did on purpose. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. People born in this world don't know what peace is until they believe on Jesus Christ. Peace is something that comes on those who love God. There's no peace to the wicked, according to Isaiah 60. There's no peace to the wicked. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. He legally healed us. When he took a beating, he took your beating, he took my beating. But that's how he paid for my body to be restored. No matter what goes wrong with it, I'm healed in Jesus Christ. Healing is in redemption. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Now he did all these wonderful things for us, and it costed him everything. He was our kinsman redeemer. I love him. Now the Lord has redemption in mind. There's so much more he's going to do in our lives. And it's good. Remember, everlasting life starts the moment you first believe. So if you trust the Lord, this is who you're trusting, somebody who loves you. There's nothing out there in the world that has love like this. The best love of those we know don't compare to this kind of love. God is very serious about how he loves you. Now, if these broadcasts are a blessing to you, you can listen to the whole broadcast on newlivingletters.com. That's newlivingletters.com. And this broadcast is on the website right now in real time. And just like every broadcast, it's on the audio page, newlivingletters.com. Now, the Lord is serious about his love and he cares about us. Now, when you believe in what he already did, see, Jesus, he was born. He was the seed of woman. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary and enabled her to have Jesus. He was born legally. He was a legal redeemer. Your redeemer. He already died for you. All you have to do is believe it. And you enter into the kingdom of God. You don't have to be transported to another place. The moment you believe on Jesus, you are also simultaneously in God's kingdom. No matter where you are on this planet, you can sit on the park bench before you believe and be in the world and believe on Jesus Christ. And before you get up, you're in the kingdom of God. God recognizes you as his child. And you are not Satan's child anymore. But if you want to be Satan's child, all you have to do is do nothing. Don't do anything about your sins. Don't ask God to forgive you. And don't ask him to don't believe on Jesus Christ. And you're under Satan's rule, which is the world system. Now, because Satan is the head of this world, that's the restriction you feel when the name of Jesus comes up. Let me tell you right now, the name of Jesus disturbs Satan and all demons. And everybody who won't get saved, it disturbs them too. It offends them. They don't even understand why they get upset. And Satan hates Israel. He hates the Jewish people. Because that's the lineage that Jesus came through. When you study Revelation 12, he hates the woman. The woman is Israel. And he hates the line of Judah. He hates those who represent Christ. And so do the people of this world that don't know God. But people of this world that have believed on Jesus Christ, they love God and they love his people. They even love their enemies because they've been introduced to a very uncommon love, a rich love, a love that gives peace and joy, a love that life is in this kind of love. And men are not used to it. So when you live the light of God's word in the earth in real time, your whole life represents God. And it's powerful enough to break curses, to show people truth, to give people to represent God, to help them get out of darkness. Being born in this, we were born into a fallen world. This world, as beautiful as it is, it's a fallen world. It's not like heaven yet. But by living according to the principles of heaven itself, we can turn this place just like heaven. Because Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Eventually, it will be on earth as it is in heaven, because God's going to systematically destroy all sin. Daniel prophesied that there will be an end to sin on the earth. He's going to destroy it. He's going to burn it up in the furnace called hell. It's not going to be on the earth anymore. And Jesus did that. See, in Isaiah 53, this is your redemptive chapter. This is it's in an Old Testament book, but it's talking about a New Testament time. The time that Jesus Christ came and put Satan under his foot. Now, to enter in, all you have to do is believe on Jesus Christ. He washed away your sins. And if you've been saved, walk in the light. The Lord has many things in place to bless us and keep us out of all forms of danger. But we have to trust him to benefit from all the precious, wonderful gifts he's given. The Holy Spirit, pay attention to the Holy Spirit. If you love God and you want your ministry to make a difference, regard the voice of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to look outside you to do something great for God. You have to look to the Holy Spirit. What is he saying? Well, he don't ever talk to me. Okay, be faithful with the word. Just receive his word. The Holy Spirit can relate to his word. Spend time studying the word of God and fill your heart with his word. That's where your faith comes from. And when the Lord relates to you, that's what he relates to you with. That way, when he speaks, you'll detect him. He does speak to you. He gives you dreams and visions. Or if he didn't give you visions yet, he will, because you're going to need them. But it takes the strength of God's word to follow through with what should be done. It takes a relationship to know what the interpretation of it is. Some people have dreams and vision, but they don't know the interpretation. And some people can interpret the dreams and visions that you have, because they take time and hear God's word. And they take time and talk to him. Every Christian should go in God's presence. Well, how do you do that? Praise him, worship him, study the word. Talk to him like a person. Talk to him like a person. Talk to him as if he was your friend. Because one of Jesus' names is Emmanuel. And he has something to say. Emmanuel means God with us. Don't think it's weird to talk to God, because your God is not dead. All the other religions in the world, they don't talk. They pray to their God, but they don't listen. Their God don't talk to them, because their God is dead. It's just a lying. It's one of Satan's tricks. Something Satan started to appease their conscience. Lying wonders are done. Demons, they say things, but they can't back anything up. There's nothing done about sin. There's no healing in this redemptive chapter. There's something done about our sins, our condition. We're reintroduced to the love of God. The Lord came in His love. He became one of us. If you saw Jesus walking down the street, you would, I mean, if he's got on common clothes, you wouldn't even know him, because he looks like one of us. That's what the word was saying. There's nothing about him that distinguish him from the rest of us. He loves us. And He cares about us. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we should see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. There's nothing to distinguish Him from us, because He is us. He's one of us. He would look like a Middle Eastern man. That's it. And a 30-year-old Middle Eastern man is what He would look like. You'll detect the love of God from him. Other than that, he looks the same. And if he speaks your words, you know, just like the words of God, even this broadcast, they are anointed words and they draw people. And I know this because God has given me what to minister. I don't know what to say when I do a broadcast. I speak what God put on my heart. I start there and He fills my mouth with His words. Because He loves you. And His word, His love is detectable. The anointing is attractive. It opens your eyes to the life of God. And He wants to share His love with you. He wants you to live. And no matter, in time people get saved, they want to do something. They have all this love towards God. They want to do something. So God will love them. God already loves you. It's not about how big your ministry becomes. He loves you for you, not what you can do for Him. And if you've been preaching a long time and your ministry has taken off and it looks great, thank God for it. But that's not why God loves you. He don't love us because of what we do for Him or what we can do. And most people hadn't done anything. He loves them. And when I asked Him to teach me how to love His people, He taught me how to love His people like He does. And if you didn't win 100 souls, if you didn't win any souls, God loves you. He's not, he don't say, well, I'm going to love Joe because Joe, he really goes out there and witness to people and he bring more people to the Lord than most folks. So I guess I'll love him. It don't work that way. God loves Job because God made Job. God, your children hadn't done anything for you. The little babies and toddlers. They bring you joy because you love them. And you want the best for them. Now, why is God so much different? He loves us because of who he made us. He care about us. He want to see our face when he make planets and we rejoice. He want to see you when he bless you in heaven with things you desire. And you'll see your friends blessed and having a good time. Smelling the sweet aroma of the air. Knowing that you don't have to die anymore. Knowing that you defeated Satan and all of his works. And there's nothing dangerous to kill you anymore. That's what the Lord has taken us to. Why? Because He loves us. And as we fill our hearts with His word, we become more capable in operating in the kingdom of God. We have all the rights and privileges that go with the kingdom of God. We can go to our Father and pray. We can ask for what we will, and it will be done. we can speak His word. And remember, His grace is sufficient. He's given us every precious promise because He wanted to. Now, there are laws of sowing and reaping. There's a work side to this as well, which is really a blessing for us. Salvation is free. Healing is paid for. Even your peace, your inner healing, the troubles that the world has caused you, the grief that it caused, the Lord has healing. Because of what Jesus has done for you, you've been made the righteousness of God, and your peace can be restored fully. Whatever sorrow you have, Jesus paid for you to be healed in that area as well, just like your body. There's physical healing and there's also spiritual healing. When you're wounded in your soul, there's healing for that too. Jesus paid for it already. Already paid for. When you praise Him, you know it. When you worship God, you enter into victory. All forms of victory. A healing process continues. And remember, the kingdom of God comes to us in seed form. When we do the word of God, when we speak the word of God, then we have the results that the word of God said we have. You may be crying when you get on your knees to pray and worship God, but you'll jump up rejoicing and run around the house. Why? Because He carried our sorrows and our griefs. He did something with them. But when we believe it, that's when it happens for us. That's when we know it. By His stripes we're healed. When we take claim on that promise, even when we praise God by faith, we enter into all that. And our body change. The cancer gets gone. Healing manifests in our body because of the great and wonderful love of God. Salvation begins from the time we first believe. And the Lord is very serious about it. He cares about us. All good things has He done to help us grow. But we know it when we take Him at His word. We have to believe it. And then you'll see the greater things happen. God loves us. And beside all that, He gave us a network of people that's doing the same thing to help us grow. If you're having a hard time in life, continue to go to a good, healthy church that God sends you to. And it's probably not going to be perfect, but that's your network, and you bring something to the table as well. There are going to be days you're going to need the guidance of the your pastor. You're going to need things explained to you. Now, the Holy Spirit can guide you into all truth. But some of the things you're going to learn is going to come from those that's around you. The Holy Spirit, He'll send you to people. If He send you to a church, it's so that you can grow. Why should He tell you when He already got somebody and trained them to do that for Him? Don't ignore the pastor. When the pastor's speaking, that's God speaking in real time. When men and women of God are speaking by the Holy Ghost, the Sunday school teachers, all the people that are in place. Now, you have to regard what the Lord has given them. In your personal walk, He's going to teach you things, and then some things you're going to learn at church. and sometimes on TV. Other men and women of God is gonna, they're gonna confirm what the Lord tell you in your heart. And if somebody, even your pastor say something wrong, you'll know it because the Holy Spirit will, there'll be a check in your spirit. Because I say that because that's what happened to me. There were times that people said things that I love and care about, but it wasn't true. It didn't sit right. And the Lord guided me. I had to pay attention. And if you pay attention, He'll do the same thing for you. He doesn't want you ignorant. He wants you to know Him. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He will continue to teach you and help you go forward in all the mighty works of God. He loves you. His love is very rich. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you. And Jesus is Lord.